Welcome in to our national edition of Real Kipper and Bourne. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee for the next hour. In a couple of minutes, we'll welcome in Brian Lawton, former NHL general manager, executive, broadcaster, agent. He's done a ton. And as a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. All right, between now and, I guess, 3 p.m. on Friday.
70 hours from now.
And a reminder that Sportsnet's going to be all over the coverage starting 10 a.m. Eastern.
They're going to let us do a 10 couple p.m. words.
I think we're going to do a hit, obviously, on Friday as well. And then, just note, on Friday, we will be on our show, but push back.
Listen close here.
1 hour.
Yes.
So instead of 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, we will be 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern.
Mm. We have time for all the trades to come in, to do our research, and give you the takiest of takes.
Okay, let me get your vibe, at least, going into this Tuesday on this week. Because for me, and I've done a lot of these, it's really quiet.
Except for this one tweet. This one tweet's
one?
Not quiet. Chris Johnston tweeted,
with
the Canucks
tweet.
Believed to be among those pursuing Jake Guentzel. Word is they've had discussions about potentially flipping Elias Lindholm to the Bruins
as part
of the machinations to make it happen. Nothing concrete in place at this time. Still lots of moving parts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The Bruins have added a different Lindholm before, and that went very well for them in old Hampus.
So what does the signing of Pettersson do for the future of Lindholm?
Oh, so do you think it was like he was like the Pettersson insurance? Now they got the Pettersson. They don't need the insurance policy anymore.
Correct.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So, and listen, they got an asset. They got a nice asset out of Lindholm. But where's the money to sign him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
you got to pay other guys on the team, right?
Yes. So
Besser coming up.
Do you now
Hronek?
Do you flip him again?
Wow!
And create something, or do you want to take him into the playoffs and
rent
just
him.
rent him?
Ooh, boy!
No,
I mean that is a
no.
That's
does that make sense to you guys?
It does make sense to me, but to me, the Vancouver Canucks are trying to win the Stanley Cup here.
Mm-hmm.
Do they think Guentzel is more valuable to them than Lindholm? Which I guess, to me, he's a winger who scores goals. Like Lindholm's like a two-way defensive PK. You were saying, Kip, that like maybe he hasn't been quite as they hoped. Not to put words in your mouth,
I'm not sure they're convinced on him being there long-term. Right? So I've talked to a couple of different people, and sometimes the sense is with Lindholm, the work ethic isn't there all the time. So I don't know where they stand on Lindholm. They love him or did they just use him as an asset?
And now I wonder, you know, for that to make sense for Pittsburgh, what has to go from Boston to Pittsburgh? Presumably, since Boston's trying to win a cup, it's no one off their roster. It's likely picks and prospects.
Yeah, I think that they'd also like something off their roster. Now, I don't think Jake DeBrusk is long for the Boston Bruins, but they're also in a predicament as well, much like
lose him for nothing if you don't.
Lose him for nothing. It's never been a great marriage.
No, it hasn't.
But we watched Jake DeBrusk look like a very good hockey player last night against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Boy,
like
he shot that puck into the spot.
He was good.
Last night, yeah.
Mm. But with Jake, Boston's biggest complaint is you're not sure when you're going to get the good Jake.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Do you, if you're Boston and you envision something going on with Vancouver and Pittsburgh, does Boston move DeBrusk and DeBrusk walks into a new contract with Pittsburgh, and instead of paying Gensel $9 or $10 million, you pay Jake DeBrusk six. Five and a half? Is he?
I don't know.
Who'd you rather have, DeBrusk or Bertuzzi?
I mean, probably Bertuzzi, but I get your point that they're in a tier.
When those guys are on, that's the going rate for Bertuzzi's and Jake DeBrusk's is probably $5.5-6 million. Whatever it is, it's going to be a fraction of the cost of signing Gensel.
If you're Sidney Crosby and you're like, oh, sick, we got slightly worse. Like, you know, like someone did tweet, I think it was a DuPont or someone tweeted.
But you're also.
That this will make Sid happy.
To get Gensel, it's going to take a roster player, probably a blue chip prospect, and a first rounder.
A roster player, a blue chip prospect, and a first rounder.
That's if I guess DeBrusk ends up signing somewhere.
Yeah.
If it's a rental, it's hard to get three pieces off of a rental.
Didn't realize DeBrusk is only 27.
DeBrusk is going to sign 6 years minimum.
Think so?
Yeah.
Boy, he's only got 30 points this year. Yeah. I mean, he had 50 last year with 27 goals. So, he's...
On behalf of Leafs Nation, just don't do that.
Don't do any of these things.
Don't give Lindholm to the Bruins, because I feel like that'd be a really good fit there. I do.
It would be a good fit for Boston, for sure. But this is the big price. That would come with an extension for sure, right? Like, if they traded for Elias Lindholm, he'd be locked up.
I don't know how you would trade for Lindholm
first and
still see him walk out the door.
Yeah, but it seems like Gensel would be more of a pure rental. Doesn't sound like anyone is talking extensions, even the Canucks with Gensel.
If Vancouver's trading for Gensel, I don't see it as a rental.
You don't, eh?
I don't think so.
Okay,
and I don't. With all due respect to the amazing season they have, you gotta be careful of overplaying your hand to win it all.
As you're sort of turning the corner now, you don't want to, all in and find out that you don't have the guys you like or whatever.
And it costs you a first rounder and it costs you a nice prospect. I think. In all honesty, I think the price would be too expensive for Vancouver. And I did have a couple of rumblings that Van is cool on Gensel. Last I heard, it got too expensive for Vancouver, Gensel. Yeah. All right, let's bring in Brian Lawton, former NHL player, agent, general manager. He's done it all. Lots, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Doing fantastic. Thank you. And this is where you find out when people are really at in the negotiations. As I was listening to you talk about Gensel, you find out what people are really willing to do. Has Kyle Dubas officially moved on from Jake Gensel? Is he committed to trading him? And if he is he willing to drop his price significantly? It'll be really fun to watch how that one plays out.
So funny you should say that, because we do know that there were some attempts to sign Gensel again. So there is some of what Kyle Dubas is doing that lends the suggestion that I still got to sell ticket slots. I still got to sell hope. And I still got Sidney Crosby, oh, by the way, still scoring 80 and 90 points. So Sid's not going anywhere anytime soon, the way I see it. In a perfect world, he wants to go the Mario Lemieux way. Start with one team, end my career with one team. But he may still be around for 3 or 4 more years. Wouldn't it be in the interest of Kyle Dubas to go and revisit signing Jake Gensel?
I definitely think it would, but I felt like the die was cast when they went out and got Erik Karlsson. That just, you know, when that move was made, I felt like there's no way that Jake would continue on. I know Jake, he's a great kid. I've never asked him about his situation. But I know he loved playing there. I also know this is his last chance at his age to really ring the bell hard. And I don't think Pittsburgh can do that. So now you're in a position where you're asking him to take a discount, but the player knows this is his last kick at the can. The team hasn't, you know, won a playoff round in a while, and they're aging, and you just can easily see how he would end up playing somewhere else for more money and maybe in a better situation.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's the confounding thing about this Penguins team. They had the fifth best goaltending in the NHL this season by save percentage. Crosby's been excellent. They've gotten production from most of their guys on contracts, and they're currently 10 points out of a playoff spot in early March. Like, if you're Sid and looking at this, there has to be some sort of, like, there's bigger questions here. You wonder, would they do something bigger, whether it be with Malkin or Carlson, or at some point in this offseason, would they try to just start over around Sid without some of those guys?
Yeah, would they? I don't think so. Yeah. I don't see it. It's hard because of a lot of the restrictions. Should they? Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% they should. This is the toughest thing to do, though. Evgeny Malkin's been a great player for him. Hasn't played well this year, obviously. Not to the level that they needed him to play to execute on not turning the page, on keeping the gang together and going for it. But and they still could make it. You can't write them off, but it seems more and more remote every day, to be honest with you. And again, it's very hard to move on to from guys that have given you such great service in their careers, been a great player like Malkin has for them. But the reality is, this is one of the spots where you can really get burned. And for a new guy and Kyle coming in, he went all in on Erik Karlsson. It just hasn't worked.
Top of the show, our boy Sammy here mentioned a tweet by CJ about the thought of flipping Lindholm in Vancouver. Does that coincide with the fact that they got Pedersen's contract done? What were your initial thoughts of the contract? And what about the fact that Lindholm's going to be a UFA, and can Vancouver use that towards Friday's deadline?
Certainly possible with Jimmy. Everybody knows that. I'm told that they've had discussions in Vancouver to try to extend him. It didn't go very far. And it's well within your right. If you pick up a guy and you talk to him, and you know what's missing in that analysis is what their analysis has been or has been of Lindholm in Vancouver. Maybe they're not lukewarm on him. The team has not won the way they were prior to his arrival. That doesn't mean it's his fault. It could just be a run that every team is going through where they don't have that sustained excellence the way Vancouver has had certainly prior to Lindholm's arrival there. So with Jimmy Rutherford, I wouldn't write it off. Does that mean that you could maybe flip him and get Jake Guentzel? I don't think that necessarily would line up, but the concept of the most active team in the National Hockey League in the last 14 months who have been the Vancouver Canucks doing it again would not surprise me.
Lots, how much do relationships play a part in what happens at the deadline? I ask this because it seems like every trade now takes double retention, right? Where we got to incorporate this team and that team. You have to have a lot of relationships. We've talked on this show in the Leafs where it's like, doesn't seem like the Flames want to deal with Brad Treliving. Probably Kyle Dubas doesn't really want to deal with the Leafs. Feels like Lou Lamoriello doesn't want to deal with the Leafs. You know, like, but I imagine with every GM and every team, there are these relationships of not necessarily burnt bridges, but fractured relationships. So I guess, is that a big part of being a GM, is just like managing to not burn bridges so you can use as many teams as possible?
Yes, it is, quite frankly. And there's a couple events every year where, you know, you get together with these guys. And at least for me, when I was in Tampa, it was very important to get out, particularly with guys that I didn't know as well, and just have dinner with them one night. You know, I had a lot of, I would say strange, but I can remember going out to dinner with Jacques Martin, who I didn't know well at that time, Francois Giguere, another guy. I would purposely try to go out of my way just to try to get to know people, because relationships are so critical in the end to getting things done. Now, what happened with the Leafs, Carolina, you know, with salary retention recently in deals, like Carolina is a very financial team. They ended up picking up a small point of this particular deal where they paid about I looked at the math one day. I think it was about $170,000. They picked up a fifth round pick. That's just something that's part of being a GM now. And in Carolina's case, I always feel like they're a little bit agnostic. They're kind of Switzerland. If they think it makes sense, they'll do it. They don't really care. Whereas other GMs, you can see in their DNA. You could look at, say, St. Louis and Detroit for some of the deals they've had going on recently with, you know, a newer GM, obviously, and Steve. He's not brand new, but younger, so to speak, to a guy like Doug Armstrong. But they have a strong relationship through their connection, particularly with Hockey Canada. So, yes, it absolutely matters.
Lots of, you're in Tampa Bay, not a huge media market, but how much does the media play in the week going into trade deadline or at any point really to, like, how much stuff is just thrown out there just to get the temperature?
I think it's kind of like living in LA and living in Anaheim. One is Mars and the other is Venus. And that's how much markets play into it. In Tampa, you know, there isn't much of a market in terms of how the media is influencing things, whereas in Toronto, where you guys are, of course, or Edmonton or Vancouver, you know, or some American cities. It's not particularly heavy here in Minnesota, which is considered a real strong U.S. market. It's really just Canada that's bat, you know what, crazy for what goes on because they're so involved. And, you know, quite frankly, I always thought that looked fun. I know Berkey always got a kick out of it, but it's not for everybody. You know, some guys would rather go the route of less is more, but it clearly does heighten everything that's going on. And it's noticeable because I've talked to GMs about it and I've heard many comments about it. Some guys embrace it. Some guys hate it.
Oh, and some of them will say, if this gets out, it's over. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The David Savard sweepstakes this year.
Yeah, you always kind of have that threat, but I don't know if that's real. You want people to respect what's going on. It's not necessarily done because you don't want it to get out there in terms of media or stuff like that. You're moving, no matter what you say, Kipper, and you and I accepted this as players, you get traded, you move. I got traded on the morning of the 26th. I was supposed to be playing a night game for the Rangers, and I ended up, an afternoon game for the Rangers, and I ended up playing a night game for the Hartford Whalers. It's just part of the business. And I think GMs are conscious of that it is still people and it does matter. And those are the reasons why people want privacy. You have other guys like Lou that just wants privacy because he just wants privacy. There's nothing wrong with that, but everybody has their own style on that. Cliff Fletcher was famous for his lack of privacy on a lot of things at times. But that worked well for him, and he rolled with that and took advantage of it.
I'd heard Cliff Fletcher stories where he'd like lean out into the office with like all the salespeople and everyone and be like, do we want to do Gilmore for whoever? You know, like, is that true?
I'm certain that the legend would have grown bigger, but there are a lot of stories like that of lots of guys throughout history who were kind of known for that, you know, literally, whether they were GM or even other roles, at times might step out of a meeting and then all of a sudden something that was being discussed in a meeting was showing up on the television screens because everybody is trying to get information on trade deadline day. Like you can't believe. I've seen it from all sides as a player agent in the media and as a general manager. And everybody's essentially trying to do the same thing. You're flying a lot more blind than you would like, particularly the teams, you know, that really run their hockey operation departments very small. It's just hard to know all when you're in that position and things tend to really become laser focused.
We're talking to Brian Lawton, former NHL player, agent, general manager. when some talk about Hanifin and the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's to the point where I'm hearing rumblings that they may have a contract extension already in place. It's just a matter of whether Tampa Bay and Calgary can come to an agreement on the actual trade. Does that make sense to you for Tampa Bay, Hanifin?
Not totally out of the question. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Lightning have no right to talk to Noah Hanifin or his representatives without consent from Calgary. That can be done, though. You know, it's in your best interest if you know you're going to trade somebody like we believe Calgary is with Hanifin to go out and find somebody that can extend him, because in theory, you should get paid more for it rather than selling this particular player as a rental. You're selling him as somebody that might be with the Lightning for a lot of years. But I haven't been able to validate that story the way that it's making the rounds right now. So I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying that I have not got any confirmation or validation that a potential extension is in place.
Did you like
it
him,
seems
though,
to me in
Tampa?
Unlikely. What's that?
Do you like him to replace Sergachev, who's been lost for the season?
I think Noah Hanifin's had an excellent year, and I think someone's going to be really fortunate that gets him. I think it's tough for Calgary. They're coming off back-to-back years where American players have pretty much made it known that they're not going to sign an extension there. You know, first Matthew Tkachuk, obviously, and now Noah Hanifin. So that's a tough situation to deal with, but I do like Hanifin. I do think he'd play really well there. I don't see it as likely that they have the pieces or assets that they're able to part with to fulfill Calgary's needs, but maybe they're stretching themselves. We've seen that in the past with Tampa. We saw what they did with Janot. They took a swing. Some people would say it was a gallant effort. Other people would say it hasn't worked out very well. That's the nature of every time you step up to the plate, you're going to be judged. But I do love the people like the job that Julian Brisebois has done in Tampa in terms of not being afraid to actually do things, because it was very frustrating as a GM, when you'd make good offers that should be hit, but they weren't, because they weren't great offers and people were afraid to make deals.
Yeah. Yeah, that does seem to really hold things up. Right now, if you look at the NHL standings, we had Lou Lamoriello today come out and say that they're definitely not going to sell and that they'll likely buy. I think maybe they're 18th, 19th, or 20th in the NHL, somewhere around there right now. Every team above that is kind of the same, right? Every team, their fan base expects them to add. It's a lot of teams. So how do you feel about GMs going all in when you're one of 20 teams going all in? I know Daryl Morey said that if you have a 5% chance to win a championship, you should go all in. How does it feel this year for you, for a lot of these teams even lower down the standings?
I don't believe if you have a 5% chance, you should go all in.
Six,
every year.
Seven?
Yeah, I mean, 32? To be honest with you, your percentages aren't that far off. I'm taking it more metaphorically to mean you have a very low chance.
Right.
But, people just don't understand the odds of what your chances are to win. There's 16 teams. You can start from there. Yeah. It's not basketball. Nobody is a 45 to 60% chance to win.
Right.
So I'm probably taking that too rough, but my point is you shouldn't go all in if you're seventh or eighth, trying to get into the playoffs in your conference.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't do some things. And if they make sense long-term, yes, but to go all in means you're willing to empty the guns, so to speak. The Edmonton Oilers, they should go all in. They may not be as high as they think, but when you look at their team, you can come to the analysis that they are on the precipice of being the next great team in the league.
Yeah.
And they are also fighting to try to keep, their star players who are expiring in a couple of years between Draisaitl and McDavid. So, there's a lot of battle going on there. There's a lot of reasons why you do it. But in general, no. Florida was an interesting example last year because, they were all in. They were all committed. it ended up working out for them in the end. And they've gone on and proven that they really have an exceptional team. But I'd say that's more unusual than usual. But it's a great job by the manager in Florida for believing in what they had and backing it up and recognizing it and never wavering. Because it's hard to do those things, particularly when you're in a Canadian market, as we talked about, because there's so much scrutiny on you in these positions.
Lots. It's almost as if everybody wanted Tanev. Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then after Tanev went to Dallas, I believe that there was a certain window where the general managers just looked at their respective scouts or people around them and said, okay, what's plan B? What would plan B for you be in Edmonton? Obviously, they're going to have to move out some money. Maybe it's Cody Ceci, but they want to upgrade. Like, who? Give me a name. Give me something that we haven't thought of, or maybe there just isn't anyone out there.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, you got to look at your own roster. And in Edmonton's case, yes, Cody Ceci, I think he's making 3.25. He's in your top four. He's probably the least efficient piece of their top four. The money's not great in terms of super expensive, but at the same time, it's an area you'd look at and say, I want to upgrade that. You could say that maybe with Brett Kulak, who really plays in that third pair. He's making 2.75, got some term left. You know, you're going to go through your roster. Fogle's a UFA this year. You're going to look at those pieces, and you're going to say, what flexibility do I have first? Then you're going to flip the script and say, okay, and I'll just make something up with Edmonton. So Leon Draisaitl at times has not, you know, hit his stride the way he has in the past. He's played less with Connor McDavid, even though he's been playing with him recently. But maybe we need a Jake Guentzel. We need one more guy that we can pair with him, and then we can have two dynamic lines, one, of course, led by McDavid, and the other by Draisaitl. We don't have to play them together, even though we have other good players, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Zach Hyman. You know, you can look at the different pieces, but you could end up on, we need one more good forward. You go out and you say, what will it take for me to get Jake Guentzel? And I really can't deplete my top four by moving Cody Ceci unless I have a replacement for him. So he's out. So can I put a package together? Am I willing to pay somebody else like Toronto was to get Lyubushkin in, which was a low deal, but are you willing to go that route? There's just so much that goes into it. This is why, you know, in today's world, you can't just have one guy running hockey operations or two. You need a true deep staff that can evaluate all these opportunities and come up with the right answers. I happen to think Florida is doing it as well or better than anybody else right now in terms of how they're utilizing their staff, and the results are great. In Edmonton's case, it would behoove them to use everybody in the organization and come up with what they think is the best path forward. I don't think adding another forward is what they need. I actually think they need to add another top D in order for them to rise up and become the Stanley Cup champion.
So all those people in the office in Florida helped Barkov set up Reinhardt for the assist of the decade?
I wouldn't say that, but they help the general manager to figure out that we should go out and get Sam Reinhardt.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, you know what?
What a win.
Sam Bennett would be a really great fit for this club. Or how about if we pick Forsling off of waivers? He might be good. And hey, what do you guys think of Brandon Montour? If you really look at the deals that Florida made, it's pretty impressive, Kipper. I
really impressive.
Cap to them. Yep.
Trick is to get all the
But it makes a difference.
For sure.
What's that?
Lots of great stuff as always, man. Thanks.
My pleasure, guys. Always happy to jump on, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
this week.
We certainly will.
Really interesting.
Yeah, thanks, Lots. Appreciate your time.
Brian Lawton, former NHL player, agent, general manager. Hey, he's lived it all.
A GQ model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got it going right now.
I was just looking at the trade for Sam Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Because I didn't remember what it was.
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo. Devin Levi and a first-round pick for, and they took in the 2022 draft, Yuri Kulich. who has played one NHL game.
Working out well for Florida.
19 years old, though. So
Brad Treliving couldn't get a first rounder for Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
What did Florida pay? Concerning. 2 seconds?
Yeah, Kipper, you have taken, you know, a lot of heat for the Nylander thing, and we've talked about it before on the show, and people love to throw that. But they don't like to talk about the other one where you're like, they should trade Nick Robertson for Sam Bennett. And everyone's like, no, are you crazy?
It's
like,
I know.
God, they should have done that.
It wasn't in a graphic board, so we can't get it tweeted at us 300
people. People love the Willie Nylander.
They really love that one.
The Willie Nylander was before he played one game.
Yes.
He sat out, and at the time, Nick Ritchie was a top 10 pick and supposed to be the next Milan Lucic.
Yeah. And Brandon Montour has gone on to last year. He was top 10 in NHL ice time and affected, you know.
Anyway. Yeah. But I just think that that other one would have been really good if the Leafs had done that.
Yeah.
Would have liked
Robinson
that a lot.
For Bennett would have been
Montour is one hell of a defenseman,
a lot of
guys.
This summer.
Yeah.
Someone's going to pay him.
He's a free agent this summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
He is absolutely like running the show back there for the Florida Panthers. And he's a gamer.
Yeah.
And they seem to love him. Like I guess they just love each other regardless. They just seem like such a together group. He scored the first goal on Sunday against the Red Wings. Big Sally. They're all jumping on him. They love him. It's just like it's
interesting.
Shoots right.
It is interesting to hear Brian Lawton explain like the makeup of Florida and how they picked up all these guys and what contributors they are now. And they were just like afterthoughts.
Yep.
I mean, and that Kachuk trade was pretty good.
Pretty darn good. I got to tell you, though, like, you know, in terms of activity, I like these teams that are like, let's get aggressive. Let's try to find some way to get better. Jim Rutherford, Nick Alberga had tweeted that since he's been in Vancouver, he was there, I think it was it in 2021, December 2021, he's made 20 trades already.
Oh, my God.
It's been like 2.5 years. I mean, 20 trades.
That's a crazy number.
You know, and it's like, and all the Canucks are in first. They're aggressive. You know, all these meek and mild GMs that don't want to lose their job for making moves. Like, hey, get out there.
Credit, man.
Jimmy's a vet. He's a vet.
He is.
He ain't afraid.
He's not afraid.
Takes the bat off his shoulder.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, they kind of held the feet to the fire of their all-star center who they were like, you know what? We'll trade you.
Yeah, Pedersen was like halfway out the door by some accounts.
And like, here's a huge hometown discount. Yeah. It kind of worked.
It did work.
Opposite of Kyle Dubas.
Opposite.
What do you want? What do you want?
I really hope Kyle's family doesn't listen to the show.
All right.
Hope they don't have cable.
All right, he says.
Let's go to break. We'll do game time when we come back.
You heard the man. More from Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we start this segment? Am I interrupting you guys?
Yes.
You had so many tweets about how great Lawton is.
Yeah. It did.
All right. I got a text from Hockey Esk.
You got a tweet.
Bedini, our boy.
Bedini. Yeah, Dave Bedini. Gone back.
When are we getting Sammy McKee?
Times.
Possible trade scenario. Loved the segment last year. So starting tomorrow, you got to give us trade scenarios.
3 fake trades, I think.
Okay. No problem.
3 Love fake to. Trades.
Can't wait. Leafs or everything? We'll do it in the Leafs hour.
There are 31 other teams in the league besides the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So you want me to do a couple in the Leafs hour and then a National hour one?
Something ridiculous like Gensel for Lindholm.
Okay, but what if this happens like tonight? Then my whole homework screwed. Dave Bedini, yeah, great guy.
Good homework assignment there. Yeah,
so he plays Nat on Thursday mornings with me, and I've...
If I ever get the invite, I'm going to come take
beat him like
shots.
A rented mule a few times.
Just
there.
To follow up... Some names out there. I mean, we did mention Hanifin and the rumblings about Tampa Bay trying to get a deal done with him. The one thing, again, the prices obviously changes if he can get an extension. It's a different price for a rental than it is a guy going and signing right away. So that's probably where Calgary's just trying to max out. If anything happens with Tampa Bay, it's... Come on.
Do you have any thoughts about Calgary and teams in general facilitating trades for guys to go where they want to go. You know, like it sounds like he wants to go to Florida.
Well, in many ways, he's in the driver's seat because the value changes if he decides to sign. So he's dictating.
Yeah.
Mm. And the one thing I guarantee you that if he signs with Tampa, it won't look or sound anything close to what Calgary had offered. And that is based on cost of living and no state tax. So the number we had heard in Calgary that he turned down was $7.5 million. I don't even think it starts with a seven if Tampa re-signs him.
Wow.
Let's do game time quickly here.
Okay, go.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds. Find out. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, a couple good ones tonight. Like the Oilers and the Boston Bruins, JVR, his 1,000th NHL hockey game tonight.
Hey, congrats to him.
Yeah.
1,000 games.
I was just going to go to find a JVR goal tonight, as I'm trying to pull it up here quickly. A JVR goal on his, what do they call the 1,000th game? Is there like a name for it? Just other than 1,000th game?
Centennial plus. Yeah, so
okay, anyways.
That would be news to me.
I thought there was a name.
There's definitely
like
a word for it.
It's called 1,000th.
Okay.
that's the word.
I think this, yeah.
Okay. He is plus 320 for a goal tonight in his 1,000th game. Give me a shot on that one. Maybe a little flair for the dramatic.
Pass.
Okay. How many does he have this year? 11? 12?
Yeah.
He's got a few this year.
14?
The other one I'm looking at here, this is, I mean, second straight night of me giving a pick potentially against the Florida Panthers, which is really not a great way to make money this year in the NHL. But they're on the second half of back-to-back, going into New Jersey, who just fired their head coach, looking for a little bit of the dead cat bounce. Is that the saying?
It's a bad saying.
But it's the Cats they're playing against, so maybe a little bit of, you know,
dead cat bounce. Okay.
So give me the New Jersey Devils at plus 110 on home ice tonight to get a win over the Florida Panthers. They're on the second half of back-to-back. I know Borny likes his beloved Penguins on home ice, minus a goal and a half, maybe at plus 105 or in regulation. So I know you like that one.
I do.
And the Nashville Predators, who, Borny, Kipper, would you believe me if I told
eight.
You that they've won eight in a row?
Eight.
They've won eight in a row.
I know.
Stunning.
They are on home ice.
I heard.
They're on home ice night against the lowly Montreal Canadiens. Give me the smoking hot Nashville Predators minus a goal and a half at plus 150.
Is this not the year of the stupidest streaks in the league? Nashville gets eight, Seattle gets nine.
Yep.
Like there's been some big runs from some teams.
And that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
We've mentioned this name, I think, a week or 2 weeks ago when it comes to Carolina, and that's Brett Pesce. We had talked to Brian Lawton at the top, and like they are a truly financial team, right? So do they envision renting themselves this guy? It doesn't appear like they made any traction on an extension. And I know we mentioned Colton Parayko potentially being out there. Brett Pesce, right-handed shot. Right? Right-handed D shot?
Yeah, he is. Okay. I mean, listen, Pesci's 29, 6'3", 205, right shot. Mm. You know, he's 30 points a year.
That would be like a Hanifin. I think you're trading him, and I'll throw the Toronto Maple Leafs out there. You'd be trading him to re-sign.
Yeah. They want Timothy Liljegren? Like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you're right. Carolina doesn't tend to lose assets for nothing. It will be fascinating to see what happens there because they are very much one of the teams in contention for the Stanley Cup. You know, Freddie Anderson comes back and all of a sudden they get some good goaltending. They've got enough talent on that team. It'd be shocking to see them do what St. Louis did with Stastny and Shattenkirk and just move on from a guy in the midst of a playoff year. So I don't know what that means. They would want a player back, presumably.
Yeah. All right.
Do you think he'll get traded or you're just an eye on that sort of
thing? He's just a name that intrigues me out there. I like Carolina's a tricky team to read because they're one of those teams where, you know, they're in the second tier. Do you have them up there with, I don't know, I mean, outside of, is this the widest open Stanley Cup in quite some time here? Can you pick three teams that are Stanley Cup favorites and then work yourself into 10 of them being on the outside looking in?
No. This is the first year I look at it, and I think there's a top tier of one team, Florida. And then there's...
Florida's that much above everybody else.
To me, they're a separate tier from the next group, which is 10 teams big.
We can have Vegas in that conversation, then we cannot have Vegas in that conversation. And lately, we don't have Vegas in that conversation because there's been a fall off a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, Kip.
Yeah.
They have like a 589 points percentage this year. They've lost three in a row. They're 14th in the NHL. Like, yeah, I get your point.
Yeah.
They get healthy. Stone comes back. They make
by
a trade.
Columbus last night.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough for me to say, look out. You know, the Jets are the second best team in the league by points percentage. The Winnipeg Jets. I mean, they're a good team.
But you don't
you're
really.
Not like,
you're not like, oh, they're one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
No, I mean, they have Connor Hellebuck, who's a top. You know,
so doesn't this make Friday's deadline that much more intriguing that teams are kind of thinking your way is like, okay, Florida, I get it. They look unbeatable right now. But outside of Florida, maybe it's a key injury. Maybe they get cold at the right time. Let everybody go back to Bobrovsky. Can he really do it?
That's kind of right? Where I'm stuck. Like,
is he really that good now? He's going to win them the Stanley Cup. I never bet on that guy.
You know,
right? That's
funny.
What people are saying.
It's funny. Buchagrass was on Twitter yesterday making the case for Bobrovsky for the Hall of Fame, and I was like, "What?
The Hall of Fame?"
But you look at it, and it's like 400 plus wins, two Vezina trophies. You know, he's hot again, like for his zillionth for straight year here.
Take Florida to the Stanley Cup final or win the Stanley Cup, and yeah, he's in.
You know what
right?
I mean? Yeah, it's like he's a sneaky guy that you're like, he's actually had quite the career, and to bet on him to fall off.
But look at the teams now outside of Florida that you go, like, don't think about us, you know, as think, give me a reason why we can't win it this year.
Bruins, Rangers, Canucks, Dallas Stars, Edmonton Oilers,
Carolina, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Sure, Jets, you know. Vegas, it's a long list in the next year. So, yeah, that's why I was asking lots. Like, how do you feel about teams getting aggressive when you're not head and shoulders above 10 other teams? You're in the mix with them, but...
It is. It's
comes
a,
down to
it's
your
a
desperation
weird,
level.
It's weird.
It is weird. Tampa Bay's not even in that group. Like, you know, I'm curious to see what they do. If
Tampa
they,
is... Like as inconsistent as they are and not really being comfortable with Vasilevsky being all the way back after his surgery, you still, I'm not dumb enough to completely write them off.
Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman, Vasilevsky, Anthony Cirelli, you know, go through the
Hagel.
List. Hagel, Nick Paul, they have so many good players.
Oh, my
so many good players on that team.
If they somehow found their way into a conference final or a Stanley Cup final, would you be that shocked?
You'd be like, I can totally see it.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, you
Chernak's
need,
so good.
You need
John Cooper.
Cooper, you get Hanifin.
You guys wouldn't be shocked if they went to the final this year.
Would not be
You're
shocked.
You're crazy. You would be shocked.
I'd be surprised.
Everyone would be like, this
levels
group.
Of surprise.
Yes.
Like, their blue line outside of... Those guys you named, it's like,
their
you know, it's a lot of
us.
Radish and...
Hanifin helps.
Hanifin. If all of a sudden you're Hedman, Hanifin, Chernak, and Hayden Fleury, you're like, okay, there's four
Chernak
guys.
Chernak always
okay.
gets hurt, though. He finds a way to always get hurt.
He got murdered last year.
When Bunting kicks out his feet, it's really hard to...
You know, he kicked out his brain through his ears. It was a brutal hit.
Yeah, it was bad.
I'm wondering what the Washington Capitals are going to do here. And the word, we didn't even talk about this the other day, but Kuznetsov just... The guy went from easily could have won the Conn Smythe the year they won the Stanley Cup. It went to Ovi.
He maybe scored the biggest goal in their franchise's history.
It's a breakaway goal off the Ovi pass.
The overtime winner against Pittsburgh slid at five-hole Matt Murray game six. That's probably one of the biggest goals ever had. Beat Slade their dragon.
What a fall off.
Crazy.
I mean, you know, he's struggled.
Yes.
He struggled personally and is in such an interesting place now that he seems to be through the program. He's at this part of the program where he's allowed to practice. They put him on waivers, and he had a remarkably positive interview and debut with the Hershey Bears of the American Hockey League. He's going to...
He's always been a very interesting guy, like in terms of an interview. Yeah. And like he'll give you... Oh, yeah. He'll give you stuff.
He is an interesting guy.
They are kicking tires on Chychrun.
Caps are.
Yes.
Poor Chychrun. Just like, what am I doing? Yeah. What's
He's
happening?
Bouncing around from bad team to bad team.
Like, they need defense, and it's one of those markets where they can't be like Chicago for the next 3 or 4 years.
No.
No.
They need to actually, like, be competitive.
Yes.
See, I don't hate teams trading for a guy that they see as a part of their future now, even if it's not for a playoff run, which is why Markstrom to New Jersey made sense 2 weeks ago and it makes sense today. You know, I don't have any problem with guys, you know, the way that Hronek went to Vancouver and then it's time to get settled and all of a sudden he's a valuable player. So
they need defense there. How's Sandin working out? I thought he'd be great.
I don't know.
He's exactly the guy that left the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm told.
He had 3 goals and 12 assists in 19 games with the Caps last year. He has 3 goals and 17 assists in 52 games with the Caps.
They're shopping for a defenseman, and if they don't get it at the trade deadline moving forward, they'll go and sign one of those guys in the summer.
That's crazy.
I hear.
Yeah.
You could look back on that trade that Dubas made, because they got the first-round pick. That was Boston's first-round pick and Erik Gustafsson, and they took Easton Cowan with that pick.
So Cowan and Gustafsson
that could
for
be
Sandin.
Dubas' greatest trade as a Leafs general manager, and he didn't even make the pick.
Yeah. He needs he needed three more of those just to even it up.
Yeah, I agree. No, I couldn't agree more.
Oh, I like his trade record.
What?
I do.
You're nuts.
Not doing a debate on this right now.
You just got those glasses on and you're like, oh, immediately you turn into Kyle. Like, no way. They were bad. A lot of bad.
I just got
not doing it.
I just got a text. I'm going to read it for you, and you guess who sent it.
Okay.
I checked again. League only awarding one Stanley Cup this year.
I'm on the text.
Our thanks to Brian Burke.
Thanks, Berkey. And that's a great point. 10 teams think they have a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
You know, 10 of 11, whatever, are going to go chips all in and then come up bust and have paid for rentals, and now they're in trouble.
Thanks to Gary.
10 think.
Yep.
Yeah, 10 think, but none can win it if you don't think.
Thanks to Gary's beloved playoff matchup, there's going to be 6 contenders out in the first round. Great stuff.
Yeah, it's sub-awesome, that's for sure. I don't know, but we're 72 hours away, actually a little bit less coming up on, actually we're probably 70 hours or less, 69 hours.
Something going to happen tonight?
Hope so.
Well, Zucker has been held out as a possible trade candidate. Someone tweeted earlier that they wanted the Gensel thing done by tomorrow night. So things are moving.
There is some rumblings out of Pittsburgh that Kyle could revisit signing him.
Gensel re-signing. Yes. God, that would really take the wind out of my sails. It's not fun.
The price has to come down, though.
What do you think the price is? 10?
9.
Yeah.
Maybe if he comes down to 8.5, 8.25.
Pittsburgh just have 6 30-year-olds under contract till they're 36.
He's still got to make Sid happy here. Sid's not going away anywhere.
They're good players. They're effective guys.
So
the rest of the team's not been awesome.
So intriguing as we get ever so closer to Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. And stay with Sportsnet. Stay with the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We'll make sure that you're covered.
Yes, sir.
All right. What's up for tonight?
Tonight is a non-Leafs night, the only one all week, yep, so children time.
Our thanks to Brian Lawton for joining us. Enjoy your games tonight, and we're back tomorrow for more Real Kipper and Bourne.